Chapter 15. Mr. Franklin had made up his mind to leave. "Wait a day or two longer, sir, and give Miss Rachel another chance," I said. He handed me my lady's letter. "Franklin, I am forced to believe now that the Moonstone's mysterious disappearance is no mystery to Rachel. I have tried everything, but something forbids her from breaking her silence. She is in a pitiful state of nervous excitement. I shall take her to London for a change of air and some medical advice. Please come and see us there, will you? But not straight away. It is impossible to reason with her at the moment, and for the moment, you two are better apart. Give her time."
"The Moonstone has given Colonel Herncastle his revenge," said Mr. Franklin, "but in a way he never dreamt of."
We said goodbye, and sad and weary I went inside. He was right. The diamond had brought us nothing but unhappiness. The next day, Sunday, Samuel brought a message. My lady and Miss Rachel were leaving directly from Fritzinghall for London that day. Penelope was to accompany them, but I was to remain in the country. I had said goodbye to Penelope at the gates and was walking back through the rose garden when I heard my name called. I turned and saw limping Lucy.
"Where's Franklin Blake?"
she said fiercely.
"Mr. Franklin Blake, you mean?" I replied.
"Murderer Franklin Blake, I mean,"
she shouted.
"He caused her death."
"What makes you say such a thing?" I replied angrily.
"You don't care," she said softly. "Everybody treated her badly, except me. I loved her."
Tears came to her eyes.
"I'd saved up a little money. We were going to go and live together in London and earn our living by sewing. Until he came. She lost her mind when that man arrived. I can't live without him, and, oh, Lucy never even looks at me. It was pitiful. And then her letter came this morning."
Wiping her eyes, she cried,
"Where is he?"
"He's in London," I replied. "Why do you want to see him?"
"I have a letter from Rosanna to give him. If he wants it, he must come back and get it from me. I and nobody else must give it to him."
She turned and limped away towards the shivering sand. On Tuesday morning, a letter came from Mr. Franklin's father's head servant, an old friend of mine. He mentioned that Mr. Franklin had left England for Europe on Sunday morning. And so, for some time to come, there would be no hope of knowing whether Rosanna's letter contained a confession or not. Thursday brought news from Penelope. A London doctor had earned a lot of money by suggesting that the best cure for Miss Rachel was amusement, flower shows, operas, dances, that sort of thing. Mr. Godfrey had visited and was most politely received. Saturday's post brought an envelope from Cuff containing an article from a London newspaper, a report from the law courts. Mr. Septimus Luker, a dealer in Oriental jewellery, complained to the court that he had been annoyed by three poor Indians. Again and again they had tried to enter his house, asking for charity. Mr. Luker believed they intended to rob him and demanded that they should be arrested. The judge dismissed the complaint, saying there was no evidence. He advised Mr. Luker to get the police's advice on how to protect his property. The devilish Indian diamond had left us and found its way to London. And so, it is here that I must leave the story for someone else to take up.